This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
We are finishing up a series today called All Creation Sings, and we are in Genesis 1, week 1. David Nasser was here last week, spoke about being created by God and for God. Today we're wrapping up with speaking of creation, but going to the scripture as well. In other words, we're talking about God's glory from creation to scripture. And I want to start by just asking you the question, not as a regular pattern, but often, have you experienced a restlessness when you try to go to sleep at night? Hard time falling asleep or waking up with your mind racing, anxious thoughts, stress, replaying a meeting from earlier in the day that if you could do it over after you've had an hour by yourself to think through the arguments, you would now win that debate that was had in the room. Several parents talked to me after the first gathering today and said, there's nothing like a chaotic day, a chaotic ending to the day, putting the kids in bed, laying down and realizing it's going to be better tomorrow. We're going to wake up fresh. All these kids needed, it wasn't just bad attitudes, it was sleep deprivation. Some of you, though, are dealing with confrontations, relational struggles, financial strain, and some about the nighttime. The world is shutting down a little bit. People aren't exchanging emails, phone calls aren't happening, and so you want to kind of get after it again after a day, but you know that with the morning come new possibilities and new opportunities. And this week, I don't know why, I got caught up in watching documentaries about the housing crash in 2008. No idea, but I was getting pretty fired up. I want people in jail. Can I get an amen? I was hot and bothered. So because, you know, when it's real hot out, Amy and I take our walk real late, almost like after sunset, and we came back. I showered first. I'm in the family room, and I decide, just real quick before Amy comes out, I'm going to watch this Lehman Brothers thing real fast. And I mean, I was getting bothered. She comes in and I'm mumbling over this documentary. And she goes, "What's going on?" I go, "These crooks, you have no idea." I start going back to the 90s and how I would have fixed it. And remember, I should have stuck with politics and none of this would have happened, Amy. We would have gotten in there. And then Amy looks at me and she goes, "Should you be watching this stuff at night?" And the answer is no. No, you're going to go to bed fired up, all worked up. Think about this. Even a common cold, going to bed at night, you've wrestled with your sinuses maybe during the day, but when you lay down and your head immediately goes and you're stuffy and you're thinking about the next day already. Like, I can't wait to get up and get a shower and let that steam start to clear me out. There's something about a new day. There's something about the morning time. And we're going to see that today in Psalm 19. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 19. Pull it up on the app, on your phone, iPad. I really want you to see this today in the breakdown of this as David walks us from general revelation to special revelation. And this is how we're going to end this series. We're going to move from creation, which is verses 1 through 6, general revelation, to verses 7 through 11, which is special revelation, the Bible talking about scripture. And then the last three verses of Psalm 19, we're going to have to assess our lives. We're going to have to compare the way we live with what we just read, which is what we should do every single time we come to scripture. We should be aligning our lives with the Bible. If it's not aligned, we repent, we confess. But we're talking today general revelation versus special revelation. And if you're taking notes, write the word general revelation or the term general revelation next to verses 1 through 6. Put special revelation by 7 through 11. And here's some basic, very basic definitions as we unpack this today. General revelation is God making himself known, God revealing things about himself through creation and through conscience. We're created in the image of God. And so we can get revelation through the conscience as well. But today we're speaking specifically about creation. And here's what Paul says in Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." General revelation is available to all people in all places at all times. It's from the rising of the sun, as we're going to see today, to the setting of the sun. We're going to see that he is the creator and sustainer of all life. He's still at work in creation, which the progression of this text moves us from understanding God is still at work in creation. Therefore, he is still at work in your life. So whatever you wrestled with last night, you're here this morning. It's a new day. It's a new day to move into and to understand God is not done writing your story. He is still at work. What does creation teach us? Creation gives us so much information about God. His existence, his power. We use the term intelligent design. We learn that he's creator. We talk about his sovereignty. We saw that in week one. And that where we are right now and the world that we live in, this is no accident. God revealing himself through creation to the point where Psalm 14:1 says this, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." God revealing himself through creation. But what we're going to see today is we need more than general revelation. And we don't want you to stop with what God reveals about himself through creation. So we move to special revelation. And this is going to be verses 7 through 11 in our text today. It's God making himself known through Christ and Scripture. Christ is the ultimate expression and Scripture the primary source. This is going to be so important, and it might be the first time you've ever heard this, but creation teaches us about God, yes. Creation reveals the glory of God, yes, but it is not enough. We need more. Creation alone will not answer all of your questions. We need more than general revelation. So let's jump into Psalm 19, verse 1, and if you have your Bibles there, and a lot of you with pens, I want you next to the word declare and proclaim. Right, ongoing telling. In other words, we're not talking about just Genesis 1, God created it and then stepped out. No, creation is the ongoing story. God telling the story of creation. God at work in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And today we're going to see with every sunrise, it's the glory of God bursting forth. The skies proclaim, continue to proclaim the ongoing telling, the work of his hands. Psalm 19 declares creation, general revelation, as the finger work of God. Isaiah uses the word picture, the arm of God, to talk about salvation. The sun, the moon, and the stars, finger work of God, but salvation required that God roll up his sleeve and use his whole arm. Day after day, they pour forth speech. So it's continuing. Night after night, they reveal knowledge, but watch. They have no speech. They use no words. This is why we're going to see in a moment. We need special revelation. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, going back to Romans 1. This is seen by all so that people are without excuse. And here's where I've been meditating this week, and hopefully you run with these word pictures that we get. Verse 4, at the end of verse 4, it says, in the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. And this is a Table Rock sunrise. And as we get to 11:45 and the entertainers show up to the 11:45, I'm going to have to remind them that this is a sunrise. This is what you see in the early morning. Okay, and some of you don't see a lot of sunrises, but every time I think of a sunrise, I think about a new day. Right, when you think, there are seasoned believers in this room. The idea of a sunrise alone brings you to what Mandy shared earlier in worship. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the saint, his name shall be praised. Some of you go to Lamentations when you think about the sunrise. His mercies are new every morning. And it's going to be a good day as I begin my day walking with Jesus. Some of you think of a sunrise and you go back to your mom, who opened your curtains every morning with, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Every teenager wants to be awoken with a mother singing at sunrise. This is the day, this is the day. Get your butt out of bed, get your butt out of bed. Right? No, this is the day that the Lord has made. Get after it. Get out of bed. Let's go. This is the idea of the sunrise, and we're going to get these great word pictures today in verse 5. Talk about declaring and proclaiming the glory of God. David goes to these word pictures. I have to wonder, how many sunrises did David see from Jerusalem? How many times did he see it? And how many word pictures? He's going to give us two great word pictures in verse 5. The first one is that of a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. You remember your wedding day? Some of you are like, it's been a while. I do. It's going on 30 years. And I made the drastic mistake of choosing to sing to Amy as she walked down the aisle. If you're thinking about doing that to any of the new young people out there, don't. Whether you can sing or not, you're not going to be at an emotional place to be able to do it. But I chose Kenny Chesney's Me and You. And I sang the first line and forgot every single word of the song. I'm standing there at the front. My best friend, Austin DeLoach from South Georgia, is marrying us. He's officiating. And I start with, ordinary no. And that's about all I had. And I, for the rest of the song, with Amy and Dennis Lloyd Freetag walking down the aisle, made up every single word I sung to her. I was mixing it and stuff from the chorus with stuff from the verse. I was packaging it up and sending it out there. It was horrible. When I was done, my buddy looked at me. Austin looked over before he asked, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And he goes, impressive. And we went right back. Not my voice, that I was able to wing it. I was able to wing it. What is the bridegroom coming out of the chamber? What does that have to do with sunrise? It's speaking of anticipation, bright, joyful, cheerful aspect of the rising sun. Watch this. This is a quick video of grooms anticipating the bride. And the soundtrack is everything. Okay, that's too much. A lot of those clips are on my Instagram feed, but when the groom turns around, he's actually looking at his Toyota Tacoma. Anyway, people are very creative online. So, but why? Why are we using a groom to talk about the sunrise? Because for you and I, every day when we get up, that should be our anticipation of what the Lord's going to do in our life that day. I encourage, if you don't get up at sunrise, just try it once this week. Grab your Bible, a cup of coffee, or whatever you need, not that Celsius vodka drink that's been going around this week. Careful what you're drinking, people. Anyway, but man, just be alone with the Lord, especially if you had a struggle the night before. If you're struggling to get to sleep, set that alarm to get up at the sunrise. Anticipate. Find the joy in what's up. But then there's this next one. I don't relate to as much as I did the first part of verse 5. Like a champion rejoicing to run his course. Not a runner, a champion. Right? Moving forward, running his race, winning his race. So we get this beautiful word picture from the rising of the sun to the setting. I love taking pictures of old churches. And there's one, if you've been to St. Patrick's in New York, I love on an early morning walk, if we're in New York, taking a picture of it, coming back at noon, taking a picture of it, coming back at night, taking a picture of it, because it's a different look every single time. God at work, right? And from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, this is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, anticipating the glory of God, a champion rejoicing to run his course. Verse 6, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. That is general revelation, creation. But here's where it takes a turn. For some of you, you would stop there. I hear it in this town. Ted, I don't need to go to church. I got the lake. I go to the lake. That's where I spend my time alone with. Can you spend time alone with God on the lake? Yes. Can you do all that we just said, all the anticipation, the rejoicing by there? Yeah. But remember, in the ancient Near East, they worshiped the sun. We don't worship the sun. We actually know the opposite of that. We know that the sun praises God. So we're real clear on this. And I tell people to say they don't need the church because they got the lake. I said, the lake is not a church. And you don't know anything about the church from creation. You know something about the church from special revelation, the Bible. I was on a trip to Alaska, and we were looking at this beautiful glacier. It was gorgeous. And I'm on my jet ski, and the guide comes up, and he goes, Ted, can you think of a better church than this? And I said, yes. This is not a church. It's a glacier. Know the difference. So here's the key. Is there an animal up on stage? Are you hearing that moving up here? Okay. General revelation. That's creation. I don't know what's going on. There's an animal up here on stage. We may need to get security. Where? It's very distracting though, isn't it? I have no idea what that is. Okay, take two. General revelation, creation, this declares the glory of God. It's proclaiming the ongoing story of God at work in creation. I mean, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to throw this table over at somebody. Anyway, okay, let's get it together here. Sparks our curiosity and leads us to ask deeper questions that can only be answered with special revelation, Scripture. So let's say your curiosity is sparked as you're enjoying creation. Let's say that you're on the lake and you're like, God, this is amazing. It should lead you to ask deeper questions, but keep in mind, this is not going to answer those deeper questions. I know I'm here. I exist. But guess what creation doesn't answer? Why I'm here, right? I get that there are animals here. They're created. I see them. Creation shows me that. But the Bible teaches me what is man's relation to animals. I ask questions like, why do people hurt each other? Why does the beauty of creation also possess disease and violence, suffering and death? Guess what answers that? The Bible. Special revelation. Timothy Keller, he pastored for years in Manhattan, and he would have people tell him, hey, I worship the God of love, but not the God of your Bible. And Timothy Keller had a great answer. He would say to anybody, and he did, he was very intellectual, academic, and I loved his approach, but he would say to them, how do you know God is love? You didn't learn that in creation. We learn that God is love through special revelation, the Bible. And he would ask them, for those who say, I believe in a God of love, I just don't believe the Bible. He says, where did you learn that God is love? Did you learn it from nature? Did you learn it from tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes? Did you see a lion take down a zebra and go, God is love? No, creation did not teach you that. The Bible teaches you that. And so that's why we jump into verse 7. And we're going to get the attributes of special revelation, but we're also going to get how it affects us. So if you've ever thought to yourself, I read the Bible, I don't align my life to it. There's a lot in there that I take. There's a lot I leave out. I hope at the end of this, you see why it's so important that you align your life to the Scripture. And if you think that God, if you think that the Bible is a cosmic killjoy, that today you'd see just the opposite, that it is a warning and it is a joy to your soul. Look at what it says in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. In your quiet time, in your time with the Lord, when you open the Bible to hear God speak to you, his word comes, it's living and active, and it comes alive in your life. It should refresh your soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Too many people today in your life, in your family, are fools. They're living foolish lives. And you need wisdom for your life. You're going to the wrong sources. You're going to the wrong people to find wisdom. But the Scripture gives wisdom, brings wisdom. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Whenever I read this, I go back to Proverbs 4. We quote Proverbs 4:23 a lot. Above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. But when you go up earlier in the passage of Proverbs 4, I always picture Solomon on his son's bed, on the edge of his bed, telling his son, hey, listen, I'm going to share some things with you, and I need you to listen. This is wisdom, and it is instruction. You need to pay attention. I got this from my dad. I'm now passing it on to you. This is going to save you a lot of heartache in life. If you go down the path I'm about to share with you, and it's what I call the dad voice. Every dad in here has a dad voice. And I can't even impersonate my dad voice up here. We have to kind of be in the moment and in the situation where my kids need a warning. Because that's what a dad voice is. It's instruction, it's warning, it's protection, it's care. It's not mean, it's not angry. It's a, I've seen some things you haven't seen. I see some things you don't see right now. I'm aware of some things going on in and around this world, but you're not seeing it right now. So would you please listen to me? Years ago, my daughter and I were in Memphis, Tennessee at an event at a church. And Corinne, she's very young. She was running my book table. And she would always bring crafts and stuff to work on during the sessions. And I was on the front row. And the pastor's introducing me, and I mean, he's at the end of his introduction. I walk up, and as I'm going to grab the mic, somebody from the security team jumps on the stage and whispers in his ear, a man just entered the building with a sawed-off shotgun. I jumped down off the stage. I ran to the back. The door flew open, and guess what came out of my mouth? My dad voice. And I used my daughter's government name. Corinne Mae Cunningham. That's not even the dad voice, but in the moment, when I think we're in an active shooter situation, I yell across the lobby as I'm running to her. Now, back it up a little bit. Had I walked out like I've done before and go, hey, Corinne, I would have received no less than 67 questions before doing what I've asked her to do because she needs information. My daughter asked a lot of questions. I would have heard, why? Where are we going? How long will we be there? Should I bring my stuff? You know what I'm talking about, parents. There's been question after question after question. When Corinne heard my dad voice, there were no questions. There was nothing said. She jumped up, left everything, ran to meet me. I put my arm around her, and I ushered her down to the front and sat her down. And even while sitting there, about a couple dozen dads, and this is Memphis, a lot of packing heat in that church, because the kids were down a level and over, dads jumped up. After the pastor said, everybody remain seated. Yeah, right. Anyway, they took off to get their kids. Moms are crying. My daughter's still not asking me questions because she knows something's going on, but she's with her dad. She's with her dad, and dad's got her. I'm protecting her. And, you know, sometimes I share this story places, and I forget the ending of the story. And, I mean, people come up, you didn't tell how that story went down. 30 Memphis police officers responded to the scene, okay? And for 15 minutes, we didn't know what was going on. And then a guy comes in, police officer comes in, talks to the pastor. And the pastor gets up to the mic and goes, the high school, which is attached to the building, is practicing for a play set in the Wild West. And one of the students brought in one of the props. But everything's okay. And we're all sitting there like this. And he goes, how many of you think Ted should just get started? I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do it. All right, a pastor, a priest, and a rabbi walk into a bar. I'm not getting up. Moms are still out there crying. All they want to do is go get their babies and go home. They don't want to hear about no marriage content. But I always think back on that day to think about that student that brought that gun in. You know he heard his dad's voice that night. But I want to just encourage you, whatever your, I know there's so many seasoned believers in here, and I watch you walk in with your Bibles. I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to the person who's never cracked open this book because they're afraid. Because they know their life isn't aligned with this word. And they think it's mean and it's harsh. Dad voice. Care, protection, warning. I know what's going on. And just follow my word and align your life with it. This is why creation isn't enough. You need a word from God. You need his word. Giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. And then look at the word pictures. This is what I love. David, and all of Scripture uses so many word pictures. We got the groom, we got the champion runner. Now we're going to get gold, and we're going to get honey. They're more precious than gold. You can't buy this stuff. Some of you are chasing after money right now, chasing after the next buck, and work hard. You need to earn. That's important. But understand what we're talking about today, God, it's far more important to align your life with this than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. They're sweet to the taste. By them, your servant, watch this, is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. That is special revelation that David shares. Now, the last three verses are, what are you going to do about your life? Are you going to align your life to what you've just heard? Verse 12, but who can discern their own errors? I'm here to tell you, you can't. You can't do it. And the way of a man seems right in his own eyes, but in the end, it leads to death and destruction. You need a standard outside of yourself. Forgive my hidden faults, David says. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. In verse 14, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, which I hope you do this week, I hope you meditate on what's been read from Scripture today, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So when you open this and you begin reading and you begin taking in the word of God into your life, you're going to find places that you don't measure up. And here's what you all need to understand. We all need to understand this. Not the seasoned believer and the new believer too. No, all of us in the same category, we find quickly we don't measure up. It's why in Galatians we read, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. But verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, went to the cross for you and for me. Take that into every quiet time. Take that into every devotional time. Take that into every Bible reading. Jesus hung on the cross for you. He took the sins that you committed. He took them upon themselves. The one who knew no sin died for you so that you can have a relationship with the Father and you can have eternal life. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So let me just ask you as we close, just real practical. Some of you got some big decisions to make in life right now, and you don't know which direction to take. So I'm going to ask you, how do you make big decisions for you and your family? Some of you've got big financial decisions to make, dating decisions, who you're going to marry, marriage, job, career. I'm going to encourage you to quit guessing or speculating about your life and open the Scripture. Read, study, memorize, meditate, right? The Scripture says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? So get the word of God in you, because what do you do when you have more questions than answers? And you go to bed at night and your mind races. That's the time to begin rereading the Scriptures in your mind, meditating upon the Scriptures, what's true and what's not true. Separate the two. And here's the big one. Who do you go to when making big decisions? Stop making big decisions based off of the advice of family and friends who do not share your beliefs or values. Stop asking family and friends who do not have the Scripture as the priority of their lives, who do not see Scripture as the primary source of truth. Stop asking them for advice. It's the train wreck that's coming. You know, I don't know why it happened. Well, that person you asked in your family, and we can all, every family has a fool or two in it. Why do you keep going to that fool for your life? Your uncle is in his 70s. He's broke because he's lived a foolish life. You don't need to ask him what to do with your retirement savings. Stop. Go to people, and here's how you find someone. Like, who do I listen to? Who do I follow? I love this. I heard a friend this week say it. Just find someone who's a few steps ahead of you in the faith, that has Scripture as their primary source of truth, and join them. Just come alongside them. And here's the key. You don't need someone who has all the answers. You don't. No one likes that person anyway. But you do need someone who knows where to go for the answers. That you need. Now I'm going to end with a Timothy Keller quote that was just perfect timing for me because I just want to encourage you. Some of you, I was asked it today by my buddy. I'm not going to say his name, Wesley. Anyway, and I told, where's Wesley sitting? Let me see his hand. Raise it. Oh, you got, I ain't calling myself out. He asked this question in a joking way, and I said, oh boy, you're going to get hit at the end of the sermon. I'm so sorry about that. It has nothing to do with it. And I won't call you out, Wesley. But we get this question a lot. Ted, who's speaking this week? And I rarely answer that question because it's the wrong question to ask when you walk in on Sunday. To sit down and see someone get up and you're like, oh. I love when people go, who's speaking? I always go, I don't know, but I hope it's good. Wrong question. The right question is, God, what do you have for me today? What do I need to learn today? And here's the only thing you need to do at this church, not which member of the teaching team or what guest speaker is speaking, but here's what it is. Examine your heart with every sermon you hear at this church. Come in with a heart open. Isn't that what Creed sang last night? Hearts wide open. Anyway, but to the truth. To the truth of God's word. Be ready to learn and grow and align your life with the scripture. But then examine the sermon with the Bible. You don't need to examine the sermon with your personality, your preferences, your personal taste. Examine it with scripture and ask the question, is what I heard today true? And if so, the answer is yes. I hope you say that every time. What will change about me? What will change about my marriage? What will change about my parenting? What will change about my life as a result of what I heard today? Examine your heart. Every time you listen to a sermon, examine the sermon with the Bible. Special revelation. Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, for the one who's never placed faith in Christ, that today would be the day they repent of their sins. They confess with their mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in their heart that he's been raised from the dead, that they will be saved. For the one who's been away from the scripture for a while, and really all they ever get from scripture is what they get here on Sunday mornings, that this would be a week they wake up at the sunrise, a new day, a fresh start, where your mercies are new every day, and they would open the Bible and hear from you, and that their life would begin to align with this, that they would see the joy in the warning, that they would be refreshed in their soul through the word of God. We pray all of this in the authority of the name of Jesus, and everyone agreed and said, amen. Enjoy.